Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the KE Report Weekend Show. Corey and Chad here, your host for this weekend edition. This weekend show, first half of the show, we're going to focus on this continued correction in the precious metals and discuss what's going on in the underlying gold and silver stocks, where the juniors continue to get hit pretty hard and the majors, yeah, they're down, but at least they're weathering this pullback a bit better. Back half of the show, over to the energy sector, it's dominating headlines, and out of anything, those stocks at least seem to be going up while the rest of the markets are choppy at best. Most are generally trending lower. We're kicking off this show with Brian London. Brian is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference this year, happening just before Halloween. We'll post a link in the show notes for you to learn more about the Gold Newsletter and the New Orleans Investment Conference. Brian, let's just start big picture, gold, silver. It's a correction month. March has been a very tough month. It was choppy before this, but look, fact of the matter is now gold, silver especially is kind of an ugly chart. Gold, I guess the long-term chart still looks good, but I think we have some pretty significant short-term damage on the shorter-term charts. We're not getting into the stocks yet. So first and foremost, Brian, your takeaway from a precious metals correction in the face of a war in the Middle East, please.
Yeah, it's amazing the volatility that we've seen. And volatility is absolutely blown out, which typically during this two-year-old bull market, it's meant that gold price was soaring. But now we're getting one of those episodes where volatility is blown out to the downside. But everything is selling off. And I just checked the rolling 20-day correlation between gold and S&P 500, and it has never gotten below zeros this year. And over the course of this correction in March, it has soared close to one. So everything is getting sold off, stocks, bonds, precious metals, but the metals and miners have been hurt the worst. And that makes sense, really, because it's a much smaller market and it has also posted the greatest gains. So to whatever extent that speculators and traders in the West in particular have been involved in this relatively tiny sector, they had tremendous gains. And when things went south, that's what they sold. And things went south, not because of geopolitical crisis, because that's no reason to buy gold, but because the oil price spike and those inflationary repercussions have undoubtedly led the Fed to stay their hand and not even consider rate cuts anytime in the future, in the near future. And that's all the market really cares about, is what is Fed policy going forward? That is what traders are obsessed with. So on the margins, in the futures markets, to whatever degree they're involved, in metals and miners, to whatever degree they're involved, that's what they're selling the most of, because that's where you have the gains, because of the implications on Fed policy.
Well, Brian, we were talking off mic about some of the other ideas people are throwing out as reasons for the sell-off, and people were pointing to the U.S. dollar strength, but we were making the point that you could look at the exact same U.S. dollar index price and see a range of different prices, and it wasn't that dramatic of a move. But interest rates have been going up, and those are kind of anticipating Fed policy to the point you were just making. And it's also a global market. It's not just the U.S., but lots of central banks are now talking about hiking rates to fight inflation rising versus cutting. Do you think that's really the story here, is that central banks around the world are now going to be less dovish, and we may see interest rates pressure the gold price just because gold doesn't pay any interest?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I don't know to what extent other central banks will be able to do it, but I know the U.S., we really can't raise rates much at all because of the tremendous debt load that we have in debt service costs. It really is a debt spiral that the U.S. is embroiled in right now. You're absolutely right, though. We were looking forward to Trump's man in the Fed chairman seat, and we knew that that man, that person, whoever it was going to be. And then when we found out it was Warsh, we knew that he would be leaning toward rate cuts at the first and in every opportunity. That's not going to happen, maybe even for the rest of this year, maybe only one cut this year. So that's been a big turnaround in the markets, and the markets don't like that. They live for the flow of Fed liquidity. That's what keeps them elevated and keeps them betting. And that looks like it's been withdrawn. I do believe that, once we get past this crisis and this, the pig in the python, as it were, as far as the inflationary repercussions of this oil price spike, then we'll get back to that environment and that sentiment that we're going to have a bias toward rate cuts going forward. The bottom line is that I think gold, I think the metals, the precious metals, and the miners are at a tremendous buying opportunity right now. Over the last few days, as we speak, we've had gold trying to take off, and in some cases, doing it overseas and then getting some of those gains shaved in New York trading. But whenever there is a relief rally across the markets, stocks, bonds, everything, then we're going to see gold and the rest of the metals and the rest of the miners pop right back up.
Brian, I'm curious what you think about, I guess, the loss of interest in the sector. Because last year, I was pointing out there are all kinds of stats on how much demand was coming into ETFs, whether it was asset-backed or even gold stock ETFs. It seemed like everybody was talking about gold because it was performing so well, and now it's a totally different story this year. I haven't taken a look at the COT reports recently, and I haven't read any reports on ETF demand. I assume it's really just fallen off the table. What are you seeing out there in terms of, I guess, the generalist just exiting this space?
Yeah, I don't know to what extent that they have been. If you look at the open interest for the COMEX, though, it's at multi-year lows right now. So that's why I don't think a lot of the selling in this episode has come from Western speculators. We have seen the ETFs, the global total for ETFs across the world, not just GLD, has fallen off precipitously, basically following the price. So holdings in ETF, global ETFs have fallen. I think a lot of the selling in this episode actually came from Asia. We've seen a good bit of trading from Asia, speculation from trading, which is counter to all of the historic trends that we've ever seen. It's usually been Western investors who follow the price up and speculate, and it has always been Asian investors who buy in the dips. That's completely flipped 180 degrees. And we've seen a lot of speculation on the Asian exchanges. Now, it, the Asian exchanges are different in that there's really physical settlement. But before the actual settlement, you can speculate as much as you could on the COMEX. So there's been an awful lot of speculation in Asia. I think that's been behind a lot of what we've seen so far.
Well, Brian, let's pivot over into the equities and the roller coaster ride that they've been on. Just, I think 2026 is only, we're only 3 months into this year. We're still in the first quarter, which has been a record quarter as far as the metals price averages. That's the record average price of gold, record average price of silver, record average price of copper. So you're seeing really good metals prices if you smooth out some of the noise. But if you think about the roller coaster ride we've been on this year, January was a scorching ride higher, only to end on the very last day with a swan dive down. Things corrected in early February, bounced back. And I think a lot of people forget that in February, GDX, GDXJ, and a lot of the stocks actually made a newer high, a higher high than in January, only to get reversed right at PDAC. The PDAC curse came into play. And all of March, we have been in a downdraft, and it sucked all the air out of the room. What are you looking at as far as this volatility in the stocks, and can you believe how fastly things have deteriorated just in 1 month?
Yeah, we really have rarely, if ever, seen this kind of volatility. We've had volatility on the upside, we've had volatility on the downside, but it's amazing to see the way the gold surged out of the gate in the new year. Then in late January, we had that just stomach-churning fall. Then, as you mentioned, February, we got it all back and more. And then we had the big drop in March again. Really, it has you kind of looking forward to April if we're going to keep doing this. But I do believe that what we saw in February was the fact that the underlying trend, the factors that are really driving the market, driven this whole bull market, are still firmly in place. And all we have to do really is get past this Iran conflict and the spiking oil prices and the influence that has on Fed policy. Once we get beyond that, and we know that there is an end game in play as we speak, once we get beyond that, I think things normalize and this bull market regains upward momentum. And in the meantime, we're seeing a lot of great companies going on sale at, 25, 30% below their recent levels or more.
Yeah, or more. That's what I was going to say. There are a lot of stocks that are down 50, 60%. Those are mostly the juniors, even juniors that have quality resources, it looks like. So, Brian, where is the best opportunity then? Is it in these juniors that have sold off even more, or is it in these majors, which clearly are a bit more of a safe play, at least at these prices, because they're at least still making money? They're taking advantage of still a broadly higher gold price. Where is the better opportunity in your eyes?
Well, I don't know if I would say better. I will say that the majors offer the kind of potential that we used to expect from the juniors at this point. I do think you're correct. They are the safer play. They offer tremendous opportunity, better upside than I think over the near term than I think I've seen ever in my career in this industry. So I really do like the potential they offer. That said, I really focus on the juniors and I see a lot of great stories there. The juniors are cashed up across the board. The drilling that we're going to be seeing this year is going to be amazing in terms of meterage and results. There are targets that have been defined, there are targets that are being expanded. I like the juniors across the board. I like the companies with the big resources. But I really like the exploration plays here because there are some fantastic targets that in companies that we found that are now being drilled because the companies have the money to do so.
Well, Brian, it's a curious fate that the mining sector has, and that for years they couldn't raise money. They didn't have big work programs. They were trying to survive, and any of the capital raises they did were just to keep the lights on. Then the sector finally cashes up. We get a good bull market going. And now, if you look at a lot of news releases when they come out, if it's good news, it may get one day in the sun and then it still gets sucked down in the selling pressure. Or a lot of companies are now selling off even on good news. So whether that's a drill result, or a resource update, or an economic study. We've seen a lot of companies put out what is really great news for the company. They've worked 6 months to a year on it, and they still sell off. Are we back to that kind of mode where drill results will get noticed, or do they only get a day or two in the sun? What's your outlook for how people will receive the news?
Well, I think that phenomenon that you're talking about is purely related to the setback. I have seen good news get rewarded, when the market environment, the underlying environment is positive, sentiment is positive. Sentiment turned dramatically negative. I mean, if you look at the gold miners bullish index, bullish percentage index, it reached a multi-year low. The only time it had Previous time it had approached these recent lows, which was like I think at 3% on that index, the only time it approached that low was in February of 2024, which was the beginning of this bull market. In fact, because of that low and that index in February of 2024, I predicted and called for an imminent rally in gold based on that one index. And we're washed out at those levels again. Every time we've gotten to those levels on the miners, that degree of bearishness on the miners, we've had a big snapback in the gold price and the miners themselves. I think the setup right now is a direct analog to what we saw 2 years ago.
Now that makes total sense. Shad's even pointed that out, that bullish miners percentage index dropping to single digits. Yeah, it can go a little bit lower. Yeah, it can stay low for a little bit, but usually is some sort of a bottom. But to me, that doesn't speak of a bull market though. When stocks get that oversold, especially when it happens that quickly, makes me worry that we might just be trading these stocks rather than them being long-term holds like they were for the last few years as gold was breaking out and just consistently hitting all-time highs. Is that something I should be worried about here, Brian? Is that it shifted so much that this isn't a bull market anymore?
Well, if you look at, you know, the technical definitions of a bull market, then we've lost the bull market. But gold has a habit of having long-term bull markets with big sell-offs intermingled throughout that would technically have, you know, negated the bull market trend. And in some cases, really significantly, like the 1970s, I divide the 1970s into two bull markets. Most people look at it as one major bull market. So it really depends on your perspective, and narrative and sentiment follows price. Naturally, after what we've seen, we're going to see the narrative shift, the sentiment shift, and the sentiment in the really levered assets like the miners will shift the most, just as they outperform in either direction, up or down. They also outperform in terms of sentiment. So when we've seen crashes like we just had, sentiment is also going to get destroyed. And we really don't have any idea of you know, what that measures, whether that's short-term or long-term sentiment. If I would have been in that 97% negative on the miners a week ago, as far as where the short-term direction, at the same time, I was buying in the market because I'm a raging bull on where I think they're going over the long term. And look at this as precisely the kind of opportunity that the market periodically hands us, where, you know, if you're in a bull market, you buy the dips. And this is certainly a dip.
Yeah, great point, Brian. And if people like these stocks in January and February, they should love them now because they got a lot better entry point to accumulate. Well, let's talk about some of the companies with news on tap that you're excited about, because to your point earlier, they're cashed up. They're doing work programs. It's nice to see the industry back to work. Which companies are you most excited about? Some of the drill results coming out in the near term?
Well, if I look down our portfolio and gold newsletter, there are a couple that kind of stick out. Miata Metals put out really the best drill results yet on their Sela Creek project in Suriname a couple of days ago. And that drill result came a kilometer away on a new zone from where they've been working. So it really validates the reason why I recommended that company and why I own that company. And it's actually one of the few stocks in our portfolio that's down a bit from our entry price. So another one that I think is a great buy. It's on sale right now. Another company that is a real smart money play in terms of exploration plays is K2 Gold. It is one of the highest in priorities for the Discovery Group. And not only have the principals of the Discovery Group, but a lot of smart money have put big money into K2 Gold at market or above market with no warrant coverage, because K2 is about to drill the Mojave project in California that it has waited 4 years for permits. So that drilling is finally going to happen next month, and everybody's excited because of the historical results. It's been one of my favorite projects for the last half decade, and it's finally going to get drilled. And in the meantime, they're about to get results from their SI2 project in Nevada, which is an analog to the Silicon discovery. So, you know, they've got great news coming up. It is not a cheap stock, but sometimes you got to pay up for a company that's on the verge of what could be a big discovery. So those are a couple of the ones that I really like. Right now, A2 Gold is doing a 30,000 meter drill program in Nevada to expand a 1.4 million ounce project, and have just added some new land to their holdings. So that's another one that I think is positioned very well.
Okay, Brian, I'm curious about silver stocks, because those went on a huge run. Anything with silver in its name did really well kind of at the end of last year and the first little bit of this year. But silver is so far away from its all-time highs, that spike high. I realize that the current price around $70 is still a very good silver price, but a lot of that momentum has been lost, and that chart's pretty ugly. Do you like any silver stocks right here, or are you a bit more in a wait-and-see mode?
No, I I think silver stocks were getting a second bite at the apple for them. You know, Aftermath just released some extraordinary drill results. Now they're infill results, but I think they highlight the nature of the high grade nature of Berengela as a project. But they also have outlying targets that they have not tested yet because of logistical reasons that are now going to become a priority. And I think we're going to see some exploration news from them over the months ahead. So I like Aftermath at these levels. You know, interestingly, Aya Silver and gold and silver rather, has been one of our bigger winners in our portfolio. But, you know, it's got a tremendous market cap. It is one of the largest, if not the largest, pure silver plays in the world. And it's growing rapidly. I had a detailed update with that company at PDAC recently, and they made a compelling story to me why that could go up 4x from where it is today. I don't think that's a company at these levels even that, you know, we're likely to get hurt on by owning it over the next couple of years. And I think it could be extremely rewarding.
Yeah, and Aya is one of the only pure silver producers that I'm aware of that has all silver, not just a lot of base metal. So they're kind of in an interesting seat. But Brian, even these companies you're talking about, I'm a fan of them. And Aftermath, same thing. But a lot of these things have been chopped in half. So I guess it's that same thing where people like the fundamentals, but they may look at the chart and cringe. How are you coaching people through things at Gold Newsletter? What kind of questions are you getting from retail investors? I'm getting a lot of panic emailed from investors that are losing big chunks of their investment. How do you coach people through this time period where good companies, good fundamentals, but a lot of these stocks have been chopped in half?
Yeah, you know, maybe it's a sign of the quality of our subscribers, but I really haven't gotten any panicked emails from our readers. I've gotten some people saying that they really, you know, appreciate and are comforted by my longer term views in this kind of volatility. So I sure hope I'm right for a number of reasons. But I sincerely believe this is one of those tremendous buying opportunities. Again, because the fundamental drivers are still in place. You know, we still have tremendous debt loads. We have the unsustainable debt service payments that preclude having interest rates at any levels above, significantly above inflation for any period of time. So that isn't going anywhere. That is not going to be solved. That necessitates much greater depreciation, much more rapid depreciation of the dollar and other fiat currencies. And in that kind of environment, we're going to have much higher gold and silver prices. Now, we're going to have more volatility because the Western investors have finally gotten on board. They started really jumping into the sector toward the end of last summer. And, you know, be careful what you ask for. They bring enough money for these just towering rallies like we saw at the beginning of the year, and they're very fickle. The money ebbs and flows like the tides, and when it flows out, it creates opportunities like we're seeing today.
Well, Brian, I'm sure a lot of people listening are hoping that simply this is a good opportunity. Really begs the question, though, how quickly or when even could these metals get back to all-time highs and the interest really come back into the sector just like we saw it last year? Who knows? But a lot for us to consider and a lot for us to talk about so far this year, not just in precious metals, in a lot of other markets. Brian, it's great having you on the show. Thanks for taking some time with us, as you do almost every 2 weeks. And everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back, switching our focus into the energy sector.
Al Corlin's firm, AB Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.